Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've been doing a different kind of teaching. I've been basically taking some truths from the Word of God and applying it towards our current financial crisis. And the reason I'm doing this is because there has just been so much disinformation put out. People blowing this thing out of proportion. It's causing fear. And again, you know, I can understand unbelievers to a degree responding that way because, man, all they have is this physical world. But Christians should not be depressed, discouraged, fearful. This shouldn't have affected our joy. It shouldn't be robbing anybody's joy and peace. And yet I meet Christians all around the world. I just recently returned from a European trip, and I mean Christians are panicking and talking about what's going on. This is not a godly reaction. And I, you know, teach on love and loving God and our relationship with God and operating in joy. I teach on these things all the time, but I don't always make application to some current situation that's going on in our society. But I just felt it was necessary to really make some of these applications and to help point out some things. I felt impressed of the Lord to do it. So I've got this brand new series out entitled In God We Trust. And I really believe that this could help you, and it could also help you to share these truths with some other people. This ought to be a wake-up call to Christians that if you have been affected, if you are in fear, if you've been depressed, if you are discouraged, if you've lost hope for your future, if any of these things I'm saying characterize you, you have not been trusting in God. And I don't say that to criticize or to hurt. I say it to enlighten so that, praise God, you can realign your sights and get back on focus the way that it's supposed to be. And so the first 2 days of this week, I've been taking some scriptures out of Genesis chapter 26 where Isaac was in a bad situation. There was a famine in the land, and yet he sowed and received a 100-fold return in a year of famine. And because of this, became a super prosperous man, so much so that he was asked to leave a nation because he was more prosperous than an entire nation. And I've been talking about some things. The very first verse of this, Genesis 26:1, points out that there had been famines before. There was a famine in the days of Abraham, Isaac's father. There was a famine that would come later. And when you put things into perspective, I think that it gives you a different ability to cope and to deal with things. And right now, people are blowing things out of perspective. The news media is saying it's the end of the world, that, man, the financial system is on the verge of collapse. And it's just not true. I've already given a lot of stats comparing the current situation with the Great Depression of the 1929 and 30s. And then I've also compared it to the 1980s when unemployment rate was 10.8%. And I've made some of those comparisons that if you just would open up your eyes and use your head for something besides a hat rack, if we were to go by our intellect instead of by just emotions and fear that is being promoted out there today, you know what? It would keep you from making some foolish decisions and operating in fear. Let me also point this out. Some of you, I'm sure, will remember the Y2K scare that came through the body of Christ. I first became aware of this in about 1998, I think it was. I was out to eat with a minister friend of mine, and he started talking about the Y2K problem. I didn't even know what he was talking about. First of all, he had to explain to me what he was talking about. And then he began to predict that this was going to be the beginning of the tribulation period. And I mean, he got so strong into this that he actually had people come and bring pallets of food, and he was selling an entire year's supply. I think it was 6 months or a year's supply of food. He encouraged his people to buy guns and protect themselves, that it was going to be chaos, that there was going to be looting and robbing. He encouraged his people to move out of the city and move into the country so that they would have less people around to try and come and steal their stuff. And I mean, it was just unbelievable the way that people responded to this. Now, the unbelievers didn't buy into the Y2K so much, but Christians really promoted this. I remember I was being interviewed on a radio station in Dallas that I've been broadcasting on for decades. And I was on a talk show, and the host began to start asking me my opinions about this. And I said, I don't think it's going to be an event. I think it's going to be a non-event. And he just hit the roof and started telling me that I was leading people in the wrong direction, that this was dangerous, what I was doing. And basically, his whole take on this thing was that even if nothing happens on January the 1st, 2000, and if nothing happens, well, then we have been prepared and there's no damage done. But if something does happen, well, then people like you are going to cause people to be unprepared and there's going to be tremendous damage. And anyway, I got attacked. I mean, people begin to call in and ridicule me and say, how dare you do this? And so I was confronted on this on so many fronts that what I basically did, I went to the Word. And of course, there's no scripture that says Y2K is not going to happen. Amen. The scripture wasn't that specific, but there was principles in the Word, such as in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus speaking to his disciples the night before his crucifixion says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, I guarantee you, witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus and seeing the one who you hinged all of your hopes upon, him being the Messiah, and seeing him crucified and dead and buried, that was major, much more major than Y2K or the financial crisis that we find ourselves in. And if Jesus could tell his disciples then, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If Jesus could tell them that, well, then I can guarantee you that no Y2K ought to make people panic and do the things that they were doing. And I just begin to start seeing things in Scripture that talked about how that faith responds to things totally different than fear does. And I began to watch the things that were being promoted in the body of Christ, and it was fear-based. It was manipulating people through fear. And so because of that, I came out very strongly. And I mean, I made a stand saying, thus saith the Lord, this is not the end of the world. It is not going to cause computers to crash all over the world. It is going to be a non-event. And I went on record in 1999, I got stronger and stronger as the time came closer. And I started my television broadcast. I started on television January the 3rd, Monday, 2000. And I made my very first program saying, if you're watching this program now, you know that the Y2K crisis was a hoax. And that's how I started it. And you know what? It was a non-event. And this situation that we're going through now, I'm not saying that there aren't some problems, but there is a necessary correction going on. And I'm telling you, the fear that is being promoted, the things that are being said, the comparisons of this situation to the Great Depression and to other things is wrong. And the fear that I see people responding in to where they are losing their joy and they don't have hope and they're panicking about their future, that is not a godly response. Now, again, an unbeliever, I can understand responding that way because they don't have faith in God. But for people with faith in God, this is irresponsible on our part to respond in fear to this situation. We need to continue to believe God. We need to continue to sow in a year of famine. We need to continue to have our hope in God. Now, if you've been doing something that was foolish, if you have gotten involved and hocked into debt up over your ears and you can't get out of it, well then, yes, there's some lessons that you need to learn. Maybe you shouldn't just think that the world is going to continue without any bumps or problems, and you need to start being a little more conservative in the ways that you invest your money and things. I'm not saying that we just ignore this and there's nothing to be learned out of it, but I'm telling you, it is wrong the way that it is being promoted, and this fear is causing problems in people. Do you remember also about the bird flu? You know, I was in Scotland in 2005, and I remember when the bird flu, or it was called the avian flu also, was first happening, and they were killing poultry by the thousands, or maybe tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in the UK. And they were burning these birds, and there was smoke going up, and it was causing people that I knew in the poultry industry to, man, their finances just tanked because of it. And I remember being in Scotland in October of 2005, and they interviewed one of the leading experts for the BBC, or for the British healthcare system. And they asked him, is this going to mutate into a strand of virus that could affect humans? And he said, without a doubt. He says, there is no question of if it will happen. It's just a matter of when. He says it might be 1 year or at the most 2 years. But within 2 years, 1/3 of the world's population is going to die through avian or bird flu. Now, that's what a leading British healthcare official said. That was up. That 2 years was up October of 2007. And I remember reading in a paper October of 2007 that at that time there had been a total of 12 human deaths worldwide from that flu. Now, even though, you know, it's a shame that anybody died from this flu, that is a far cry from 1/3 of the world's population, over 2 billion people. And yet this man who was in a position of leadership just got up, and of course, some people would say he made a prediction and he missed it, or that maybe, you know, it was prudent to just think of the worst case scenario and prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And they try and whitewash this any way they want to. But I guarantee you, things like that do damage to people. There were people that I'm sure they had their poultry business die. They went out of business because of that. There's probably people that were maybe going to move in that direction and decided to change because of this. I know that in the U.S. there have been people that have been making predictions about all of the hurricanes ever since Hurricane Katrina hit the U.S. and there was devastation. They have been predicting these increased number of hurricanes, and their predictions have been wrong. And a lot of people just say, well, you know, we have to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And it's just prudent to recognize that this could happen. No, that's not true, because I guarantee you those predictions caused the hurricane or the flood or whatever insurance you have for those kind of things. It caused the insurance premiums to go up dramatically. Many people lost their insurance because they couldn't make the premiums, and therefore they were uncovered, and it had a devastating impact. And the hurricane seasons have not been that bad since Katrina. Their predictions have been wrong. And I tell you, you ought to be able to see a pattern here. The world system promotes fear. The world system is going to make this situation the worst situation that has ever happened in the history of the world. You know, at the time that I'm making this program, it's the day before the presidential elections in the United States, November the 3rd. And so I'm taping these programs in advance. And I don't know what the results of this election is going to be. I have a very strong opinion. I am definitely for one candidate over the other, and I would hate to see one candidate win. But let me put this into perspective again. I'm living, I'm preaching to myself, I'm doing exactly what I'm saying to you. Regardless of who wins that election, you need to remember that the Apostle Paul was living under a system where the man who was running the world was Caesar. And he was a man that proclaimed himself to be a god. There was terrible ungodliness being done. I mean, there is not even any comparison between the oppression that we have in government compared to what it used to be in Paul's day. And yet Paul prospered. Paul went around the world preaching the gospel. He told his people, he says in Romans chapter 13, to pray for those that were in leadership over them and that they were ministers of God for good. And Paul, he never rebelled. He never formed a revolt. He worked within the system. And yes, there was problems. And yes, it would have been wonderful if there would have been a democracy and freedom, and if he would have had television and the ability to do the things that I'm doing. And sure, you know, he went through hardship that, praise God, I pray that I don't have to go through some of that hardship. But my point is, Paul survived. Paul turned his world right side up with the gospel. Paul still made it, and he lived under an ungodly system. So my point is that, yes, I am praying and believing that we get some godliness into the government. And so I have an opinion on that. But regardless of who wins, I'm not going to move outside of the United States. I'm not going to put up a white flag and surrender. I'm not going to panic. You know, I remember past elections when certain people were elected to office, and I was with a group of Christians one night when the election night results came in on the presidential election. And I mean, people started crying. People said, it's the end of the world. You know, how can we ever survive? And you know what? We survived that president. We survived 8 years of that president, and we have gone on and we've made it. We're going to make it regardless of who's in office. I'm not saying that I don't have an opinion. I am voting. I am doing some things about that. But you know what? Here's my point. That regardless of what this world does, whether it's in politics, whether it's in money, whether it's in the entertainment industry, whether it's in immorality, and whether it's in the school system, and on we could go talking about all the ways that godliness is being attacked in our society. Regardless of what happens, my faith is in the Lord. My peace is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. You know what? I've got some money. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not like some of these preachers that you hear about that live in a 10,000 square foot home and fly around in jets and do all these things. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm blessed. And I have some money that you know, a friend of mine invests in the stock market for me. And I've lost money just like anybody else has. But it hasn't affected me. I hadn't stayed up. It hasn't done one single thing to me because my trust is in the Lord and it's not in this world system. And because I have that attitude in the first place, I wasn't in the risky stuff. I didn't have lots of money put in it, and therefore I don't have the same exposure to potential loss that the average person was because, number one, I don't trust this world system. So my damage is going to be limited compared to most people, but I've lost, and it's not making me fall apart. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I wouldn't invest money in something that I couldn't lose it. Not that I want to lose it, but that I couldn't lose it because I just wouldn't put myself in that kind of a risk. I just don't do things like that. I believe those are godly principles. Those are godly ideas. You know, let me just take a few scriptures here. And man, I've got like 6 or 7 pages of scripture that I just pulled off of my computer early this morning about fear. There's no way I can go through all of this. But you know, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, in the 14th chapter, Abraham had just given away millions of dollars of spoil. He went out and conquered this army. And the king of Sodom says, you take all of the money and just let me have my people back. Abraham could have been a millionaire, multiplied times over, and yet he says, God forbid, nobody's going to say that they are the one that prospered me, but God only. That's all recorded in the 14th chapter. And then the very next verse, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, what things? Him giving away millions of dollars worth of spoil and saying, God is my source. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And he went on to prosper him and tell him how he was going to prosper him in his physical body and also in finances and things. And you know, I believe that the significance of this, the reason that this was placed right after Abraham had given away millions of dollars worth of spoil, the reason this is in there is because probably Abraham was going, what have I done? Man, I could have been rich. He was wondering. It was fear. It was panic beginning to grab hold, or at least there was the temptation of it to come on him. And so God appeared unto him and said, Abraham, trust in me. Abraham, just wait on me. Let me be your source. And of course, we have the benefit of looking back in history, and Abraham prospered like very few or nearly anybody had done up until that time because of his relationship with God. You know what? The same thing will happen to you if you trust in God. Boy, there's just so many scriptures. There's many times that the Lord told Moses and Joshua not to be afraid, not to be dismayed. Let me read these verses to you out of Joshua chapter 1. And the Lord appeared unto Joshua right after the death of Moses and told him not to be afraid. Every place that the sole of his foot tread upon, he would have it, and that God would prosper him, and God would help him to supernaturally win and to defeat all of these nations. And then in Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 7, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now, this isn't limited to financial prosperity, but it includes it. And it says here that trusting in God and seeking Him would cause this prosperity to happen. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, this is what everybody's wanting. They're wanting prosperity and success. And yet they're wanting it because they're studying all of the financial tables, and they're doing all of these things, and they're just totally absorbed and saturated with this world's philosophy about finances. This scripture says if you keep the Word of God in front of you and meditate in it day and night, then you will be prosperous and then you will have good success. Now, the stock market may fluctuate. The financial markets may come and go. Certain people may be elected and others fall. And all of these things are subject to change, but the Word of God never changes. And if you will meditate in the Word day and night, God will make you prosperous. I don't care what this world system does. There are some of you thinking, "I don't believe that can happen." Well, then it won't work for you. But I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you ought to rejoice. You need to be rejoicing and praising God regardless of what the world's doing. Let them panic, but you don't have to panic. We have faith in God. Trust in God. Then the next verse, Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Boy, this is a direct command. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed. You know what the word dismayed means? Matter of fact, it was translated discouraged. Are any of you discouraged because of the things that have happened? Have any of you been discouraged about your retirement, about your plans for the future? Here is a command not to be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord is with us and God has promised that He will prosper you. I'm just telling you that you should not departmentalize your life. You should not have a spiritual section over here to where you praise God if somebody criticizes you for the gospel's sake, where if you have something come against you and you know, if it's something to do with heaven and hell, then you trust God over here. But then when it comes to the finances, this is just, you know, you got to get down in the mud and you got to do it the way the unbelievers do. And if the stock market crashes and if they're raising the interest rates and if the gas prices go up and if this happens, well, then you got to panic just like everybody else. No, the same truths that work for eternity work right here for finances. They work for the housing market. They will work in anything. If you will trust God, you can prosper. I'm just encouraging you not to get out of faith, not to get into the fear and the discouragement that this world is peddling. Chicken Little is out there saying that the sky is falling, but it's not. I'm telling you, God is as sure today as He was before the October crashes. And I just want to encourage you with this word. You know, I'm going to continue this teaching on my program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in then. And also, I encourage you to get this new series that I've got entitled "In God We Trust." You need this, so please listen and call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled "In God We Trust" is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled "The Sky Is Not Falling" is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO21C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, it seems like a lot of people are talking about the economic crisis that we are in today, and it's a conversation piece that believers, unbelievers, everybody's talking about it. And this teaching that I've got entitled In God We Trust could be something that would not only affect you, but this could be a tremendous way of taking the peace and your faith and your confidence that you have in God and sharing it with another person. It could be an open door. You could say, well, here's a Christian perspective on the way that we view finances and the way we trust God to meet our needs. And I think it would be a tremendous help to you. So it would help you, but it would also help you to be a blessing to someone else. Please listen and please call or write today and request these materials.
You can reach us through our website, or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry and for the way that you've helped us to reach out. And you know, we are literally impacting about one-third of the world's population can get this program, and that's because of our partners. But you know what? There's more. There's other people that have never heard these programs. We need to increase. And I'd like to ask you to consider giving in a time of famine. Other people may be drawing back, but man, I'm stretching out. I believe it's our opportunity, and I'm going to receive a hundredfold for the effort that I'm putting into this, and I'd like you to be a part of it. So we have our web address, also our phone number there. I encourage you to call and become a partner today.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.